Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to join in the conversation here this afternoon, this day after Christmas. We are live, and our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word at 888-677-9673. That's toll-free. We'll get you on the air here this afternoon, 888-677-9673. And I hope you had a wonderful day yesterday, a very Merry Christmas, and we're looking forward, of course, to the coming New Year now. That's the next holiday on the schedule, just coming up in, well, a week from today. We'll be on the air on the first Friday, on the 2nd of January, the first Friday of the New Year. So we're looking forward to that as well. Let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer this afternoon, and got a couple things to talk about. Plus, if you've got something to talk about, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that we could spend the day yesterday and many people celebrating the birth of Christ. And of course, for many of us celebrating the birth of Christ, it's so much more important because we know that that little baby was the Savior that came to die for our sins, pay for our sins with his own blood upon the cross of Calvary. And Father, we thank you for that gift. We thank you for each one that has trusted Christ as their Savior. And we do pray for those that have not yet put their faith in Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that they might come to know Jesus as their Savior, put their faith in him, find forgiveness of sin, and know for sure that they have a home waiting for them in heaven. Father, bless the program today for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, as I said, we celebrating yesterday as Christmas. Of course, if you're Orthodox, there's a lot of people who are Orthodox who celebrate Christmas coming up in January, and so there's always a little discrepancy there as to whether the Orthodox view is more correct or whichever. And the 25th, or I'm trying to think what that is, the 9th of January, but that's an area that we can explore. But before we get that, this is one thing the Orthodox, the Protestants, the Catholics, and even the Baptists agree on, and that's that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And there's a reason that we believe that. First and foremost, it's simply that the Bible says that he was. But I brought this up today because I had an article posted on a LinkedIn group that I manage, and I was looking at it and read the guy's article that he linked to, and his article was entitled "Celebrate the Birth of Jesus Regardless of Its Location," and he concludes with saying it's not where Jesus was born that's important, and it's not when Jesus was born that's important. What's important is this: unto us a Savior is born. And that certainly is important, unto us a Savior is born, and that is probably one of the most important things, but the where Jesus is born is quite important. And the reason it's quite important is because the Bible specifically says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem as a fulfillment of prophecy. And if Jesus was not born in Bethlehem of Judah, he would not have fulfilled the prophecy that was given in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2, where the Bible says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." And it's very clear, "though thou be little among thousands of Judah," and it's talking about Bethlehem Ephratah. And the article that was posted makes a claim that a lot of people believe that Jesus was not born in Bethlehem of Judah, but that he was actually born in another village named Bethlehem, which was just outside of Nazareth in the area where Mary and Joseph lived. And there's a variety of reasons put forth that this makes more sense. And one of the reasons is that they believe that, the journey from Nazareth down to Bethlehem of Judah would have been too strenuous, too dangerous for a woman who was expecting her child at that time. And that is true. It would have been a difficult journey, traveling anywhere from probably around 80, 90 miles, depending exactly on where they were located. And that journey would not have been in a nice, comfortable car or on a train or something like that. And most people assume that that Mary traveled on a donkey that entire trip. And that may be so, but the Bible never really says whether or not she traveled on a donkey. She could have rode on a cart or a wagon of some sort during much of that distance, but nevertheless, it would be much more difficult than a 90-mile trip would be for us today. And just because it would have been a difficult trip, that does not give us justification for rejecting a prophecy that's given in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 2, this is where the prophecy is fulfilled. It says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the Tetrarch, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star and are come to worship him.'" So Matthew plainly records Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, and that would be the same, and that would be the fulfillment of Micah's prophecy of Bethlehem Ephrata that was in Judah. Now, the article that I'm referencing here, he talks about visiting the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. And, of course, this is in the West Bank area of Israel. And Bethlehem has, quite frankly, capitalized on the Church of the Nativity in terms of the tourist trade. And there's a whole area there that you can go. I've never been there myself. I've talked with some people who have been there, and the author of this article has been there. And you can wait in line to go into this Church of the Nativity and then go down a narrow flight of steps, and you get down into this area here where there's a silver star in this little alcove, a 14-pointed silver star with an inscription, "Here Jesus was born to Virgin Mary." And whether or not that's the exact location in Bethlehem that Jesus was born, I don't know. And I agree with the author that we don't have reason necessarily to trust the Church of the Nativity built originally by the Roman Emperor Constantine and his mother Helena in about 330 AD was built on the exact spot. We don't know. But he makes a troubling statement. He says, "To me, both the Church of the Nativity and even Bethlehem are symbolic, nothing more, nothing less." Well, it's more than symbolic. It has to be a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. If Jesus did not fulfill Bible prophecy, Jesus could not be the Messiah. And one of the reasons that people knew he was the Messiah was because he fulfilled Bible prophecy, not the least of which the prophecy in Micah chapter 5 that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem Ephrata of Judah. And that's quite distinct from the Bethlehem, the small village of Bethlehem in Galilee. Now, the author goes on to say that after, even though Matthew chapter 2, as I just read, says that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, he says, "After reading the opinions of archaeologists and theological scholars, I've come to question if Jesus was even born in this Bethlehem, located 6 miles southwest of Jerusalem." Now, did you catch that? After reading the opinions of archaeologists and theological scholars, he's decided to question whether or not the Word of God is accurate in this respect. So I decided to do a little looking into this to see whether or not the Bible clearly indicates anywhere else where Jesus was born. So we've got the messianic prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which specifically, as I said, identifies the birthplace of the Messiah as Bethlehem of Judah. And we also have that fulfillment in Matthew chapter 2. Now, Luke chapter 2, in verses 4 and 5, the Bible states that Joseph and Mary traveled to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now, that should give us some insight into just which Bethlehem it was. If you remember, David was born in the tribe of Judah, so that was his tribe. And Bethlehem of Judah refers to only one Bethlehem. It does not refer to the Bethlehem in Galilee outside of Nazareth. That was not in the area that Judah was given as its inheritance, the tribe of Judah. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12, identifies David as specifically the son of that Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. Now, I don't know where the theological scholars went amiss on this. It's quite clear that the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, is Bethlehem, Judah, and we see that term, the Ephratite. Now, some critics of Bethlehem of Judah being the birthplace of Christ have tried to say that when it said Bethlehem Ephratah, it was talking about something else, the name of some person or something, and so it's not to be thought of as connected with Bethlehem in Judah. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12 clearly links the name Ephratite or Ephratah with Bethlehem of Judah. And that is a name associated with a person, the son of that Ephratite. Jesse was an Ephrathite, and that had to do with his lineage, his ancestry within the tribe of Judah. So if that's not enough, Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, we have the angel of the Lord that appeared to the shepherds as they were keeping their flocks in the fields by night, as the song goes. He said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And so again, Bethlehem is associated as a city of David. And the city of David, as we saw, is Bethlehem, Judah. And in fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 6, we find where Saul has been trying to kill David. And David is speaking with Saul's son, Jonathan. And he instructs him, "If thy father at all miss me," see, David was fearing for his life. He was fearful that Saul would try to kill him during this particular feast or dinner. And he said, "If thy father at all miss me, then say David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family." And again, he's connecting with Bethlehem of Judah. That's the city of David. Well, I think that the Bible is pretty clear that Bethlehem of Judah is the Bethlehem that's meant. And I really do have a problem when somebody says, after reading the opinions of archaeologists and theological scholars, I've come to question essentially the biblical accounts. And this is the idea that we right away have to assume that the Bible is wrong, and that the archaeologists and theological scholars are not. And time again, the archaeologists and theological scholars have been proven wrong and the Bible proven right. At one time, for instance, they used to deny that the Hittites that are mentioned in the Bible ever existed. Archaeologists said there's no record of them, they never existed. Theological scholars said that's a mistake in the Bible, they never should be recorded there. However, they finally discovered the remnants of the thriving Hittite civilization, and the archaeologists and the theological scholars were proven wrong. And we can go case after case having to do with that. But always beware when somebody wants to deny or question the plain teaching of the Scripture in regards to, as he said, the opinions of archaeologists and theological scholars. Now, we can touch on some other things in the story, as he did here. He raises another objection to Jesus being born in Bethlehem, because he said that, "I understand why modern archaeologists and observers question how a heavily pregnant woman could have ridden on a donkey for the 90-mile distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem in Judah without losing her baby. In the first place, we don't know exactly how far along Mary was when they began the trip. We know that she was probably at least 4 months along, because she stayed in the home of her cousin Elizabeth for a few months, and when she was about 3 months along, she returned from Elizabeth's home back to her home. And so she had to be probably at least 3.5 to 4 months along at that time. And then, of course, the Bible does say she was great with child in Luke chapter 2, I believe. And so that would have us assume that she's getting probably at least into the third trimester there, where she you know, certainly would have been very visibly pregnant. But we don't know exactly how far along. You know, I doubt that she got on the donkey headed to Bethlehem, you know, within the first or the last week or so of her pregnancy. We don't know that for sure. But part of the miracle of the birth of Christ certainly could be the idea that she could make that journey all the way down to Bethlehem in Judah without losing her baby. But you also have to remember that people in her day would have been much more accustomed to riding on a donkey or riding in a cart or a wagon of some sort for travel, and much more used to walking longer distances than people today. And so there's something to be said for that. However, even if, and let's give the benefit of the doubt here, not that I believe this, but even if Jesus was born in Bethlehem outside of Nazareth there in Galilee, the Bible also says that when she finished the time of her purification, Luke chapter 2, verse 22, "And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Now, she was delivered, the Bible says, when the days were accomplished that she should be delivered in Luke 2, 6. That took place in Bethlehem. Let's assume that Bethlehem, as I said, was in Galilee. So if she went to the temple, she brought them to Jerusalem, brought the baby Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, that would have been at the time of his her purification, which, because Jesus being a male child, would have been required 40 days after his birth for Mary to be set aside as unclean and unable to go into the temple, obviously. But at the end of the 40 days, that's when she would have been required to present Jesus and to offer up the sacrifice, of course, the two turtle doves. And so if Jesus was born in Galilee, this would require that Jesus and Mary made the trip again, a hazardous trip on a donkey or in a wagon or a cart, some 90 miles or thereabouts to Jerusalem, when Mary was shortly after giving birth and baby Jesus maybe being at most a month old. They would have had to head down to Jerusalem. And certainly that would have been a dangerous journey there. So the idea of a dangerous journey doesn't take away from the fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah. In fact, if it was a problem with being born there, it would have also been a problem with being taken there to be presented in the temple 40 days after his birth. And it's much easier just to accept the word of God. And I really do have a problem, again, like I said, when you have a Bible scholar, or I'm sorry, a Bible teacher who makes a comment along the lines of, it's not where Jesus was born that's important. Well, it is where Jesus was born that's important. If Jesus was not born in Bethlehem of Judah, then the prophecy in Micah was never fulfilled. And also the angel of the Lord that spoke to the shepherds did not tell the truth. And also Matthew's recount of the birth of Christ was not true either. It was a lie. And so the where Jesus was born was very important. And don't get worried like the author does in this article too, that they talking about the nativity scenes that have the wise men present there. They obviously weren't present. I liked how he made the comment that decades of scholarly influence or study and evidence indicates further study now indicates that Jesus was no longer an infant, but perhaps 2 years old when the wise men visited. Well, yeah, he's probably right there, but you didn't need decades of scholarship and further study. All you need to do is read Matthew chapter 2, and as you read through that, when you see that Jesus was taken by his stepfather Joseph into Egypt, and then Herod had all the children from 2 years old under who lived in, ironically, in the area of Bethlehem of Judah, killed. That indicates that the baby Jesus was about 2 years old by the time the wise men got there. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. We've got a call from Nancy in Euclid here. And Nancy, welcome to the program today.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call in a merry belated Christmas.
Yes, and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Happy New Year. My question today, very interesting about Mary and was she really born in that location? And that was very, very informative. I hadn't heard a lot of that. My question today is about 2 John 1:10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, how far should we take this doctrine of separation? I'm just really curious. I know we shouldn't let a Jehovah Witness into our house, but if someone isn't a independent fundamental Baptist,
all
are you supposed to just separate yourself from charismatics? Don't let them in your house, or if they don't
right.
have exactly your same doctrine? If you could explain, from the King James.
Yeah, we got a couple of minutes here, so let me just touch on that real quick. The passage says, "Whoever transgresseth," and let's see, it was 1 John chapter. There's only one chapter there. Verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Let's back up to verse number 9 there real quick and put in context. Whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So he's talking about allowing spiritual teachers into your home, really, because we have family members, for instance, who many of them believe false religious beliefs of various kinds, contrary to the Bible, cults, things like that. We have family members that are caught up in things like that. And this doesn't say that you cannot entertain family members and things like that. But what it's talking about, I believe, is somebody who's bringing in false doctrine, trying a false teacher, trying to bring in false teaching, denying, Christ, denying the scriptures, and they're trying to bring that doctrine into your house. Those are the kind of people I believe that the Bible is saying that we should avoid them. We should try not to have them there. Go ahead.
Okay, so you said that basically you're talking about don't let false teachers come in.
Mm-hmm.
If you can allow family members or different people come into your house, as long as they're not trying to convert you.
Right, I think that's it. You can
okay,
have...
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You can't just separate yourself from everybody and don't let anybody in your house unless they...
Right.
Exactly like you do.
I'm running out of time. Let me give you one thing real quick here. It's Paul wrote to Timothy, and I don't know the exact verse just right here, but remember he warned about false teachers sneaking into people's homes.
I think it's definitely.
In 2 Timothy 2, or chapter 4. I don't have time to look up the exact verse yet.
Mm-hmm.
But he warned against false teachers sneaking into people's homes, taking women captive, meaning, in the spiritual sense. And so we're supposed to be careful with that. Hey, I'm out of time, Nancy.
Thank you
for the call.
Thank you.
God bless. Happy New Year.
Okay.
And
okay,
join us again next week.
Excellent.
Just listen to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561. or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.